Heavenly Father, we thank you that according to your word, that you are perfecting that which concerns each of your children. Now, please open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, to hear what you say by your Spirit through your word in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. In this message, let's talk about what the Bible teaches about human or civil government. Who ordained it? Well, the Bible tells us that the civil servant, our servants, the servants of God and the people, he is the minister, the servant of God. Romans 13 verse 4, twice we read, he, that is anyone in public service, is the minister of God. Did you realize that public servants are here to serve God and his purpose? And what would that be? That would be to protect his people. We're going to get to that a little bit more in a minute. There are three institutions established by the Lord in this order. Number one, the family. One man and one woman and children. Number two, the church. That's the members of the body of Christ. Has nothing to do with some institution or organization. And number three, the third of the three institutions established by God is civil government, and that civil government is the minister of God. Did you know that? The Bible says, I want you to read Romans 13 thoroughly. I want you to read it perhaps each morning for the next three mornings. And let me stop right here, Saint. I'm just going to say this. There's a great need that we understand this big time. So little teaching, if any, ever goes. I don't know if I've ever heard a teaching. Now, I'm not saying there aren't some, but perhaps we can observe that there are way too little teachings on the three institutions ordained and established by God. Number one, the family. Number two, the church. And number three, civil government. And they all work hand in hand for the glory of God and the protection of his people. Notice Romans 13, 3 and 4. For rulers, that's those in a civil leadership or servants, for rulers are not a terror to good works. That's when you have tyranny, when you have like these communist democrat regimes that are actually punishing people who do good. Notice, for rulers are not a terror to good works, and that's why along the centuries we see the people rising up and taking over, because when civil government begins to pervert its ordained purpose from God and begins to punish the good instead of the evil people, then you have tyranny and it needs to be replaced. And the Constitution of the United States of America makes full provision for that, by the way. For rulers are not a terror to good works. In other words, the peaceful protesters of January 6th, 1,600 of them who were incarcerated are now free by the hand of God. You think those people were crying out to God? They were in solitary confinement. That's like a 5x9 cell. How would you like to be there? Some people have no heart for others, unfortunately. They don't live the golden rule. They've never suffered. And so suffering is coming to America, and it's going to be a blessing to those who receive it and learn from it and continue to cry out to God and worship like Job, saying, Lord, though you slay me, no matter what you allow to happen to me, I'll still trust you. Job 13, 15. So again, Romans 13, 3 and 4, for rulers are not a terror to good works. That is correct. Civil authority is the servant of the people who are the boss, but to evil. In other words, they're to punish evil. The rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power or the authority of the civil ruler? That is, if you're going to commit a crime, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister, the servant of God, to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. In other words, if you commit crimes, legitimate crimes, for he beareth not the sword, that pertains to judgment, in vain, for he is the minister of God. Again, twice in verse 4 of Romans 13, he is the minister of God, appears. He's the servant of God. to do what? To punish evildoers, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Then it says, he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Not that him that doeth good, but him that doeth evil. Notice 1 Peter. This is the second of the two main passages in this message on civil government. Romans 13 and 1 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Notice this here. It says in 1 Peter 2, 13 and 14, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. I would believe that means just ordinances decided on by the people. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, or as unto the Lord, whether it be to the king as supreme. Notice the king, that would be president, prime minister, or whatever it would be called in a certain district or country, or unto governors. We have governors. As unto them that are sent by him, they're sent by God. For what? For the punishment, notice, the punishment of evildoers, not good people. That's when you have tyranny and it needs to be overthrown. For the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. So civil government is to celebrate the good citizens and punish the evildoers according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. I want you to remember that. I want you to read that again each morning, perhaps this week. These are just two verses here. And have the revelation. We need the living revelation of God's word on one important biblical subject at a time. And in this message, we're talking about civil government, the third of the three institutions that God has ordained. And what are they? Let's recap them again. Number one, the family. Number two, the church, the body of Christ. Again, has nothing to do with any stupid organization. Yeah, I said stupid because all organized religion is false. All right, number three, civil government. Now, notice here's the third passage that is so very important. Let me stop to say this, beloved saints. We would have so much less confusion and so much better discernment if we simply had a foundation in what the Bible teaches about civil government. We would have a lot more professing Christians, I said professing, that were celebrating the fact that we have now Donald Trump instead of this perverted, pedophile, murderous, evil, demonic, satanic regime that ended, that was Joe Biden and Obama nation himself and George Soros and all of these other Satanists. If Christians had a little bit of a foundation in this topic, which you can get in this message, and I want to encourage you to pass this on to another believer, and also consider listening to it again, because there's things you're going to hear from the Word, most importantly, the second time, that are going to finally begin to sink in. And we need to be saturated and what the Bible says about this. Some people think, well, I shouldn't be involved in that. Well, the Bible speaks about civil government. God ordained it. We just read that in Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2, that he ordained it. And what is the purpose? To do good to the good people, the citizens, and to punish the evil doers. He is the minister. They are the ministers of God. So biblically irrefutable is the term I would give to why Trump was given to us by God and not the alternative, which every Christian should be celebrating, and not trying to find out and go down every rabbit hole as to figure out or make up stories and bear false witness about Trump and his supposed nefarious plans and Noahide law things. Every president, by the way, has signed the Noahide laws for the last several decades. Also, we got false teachers running around playing little clips and misleading people. Let's talk about that for a minute here. Notice the Bible speaks about swearing oaths, does it not? And in the book of James, we read in chapter 5, verse 12, but the reason why I'm going to read this and talk about this for just a moment before we go back and finish our third and probably last passage in this message is because people don't have a foundation in the Word. They spend way more time on social media media, and they don't even know the word, and so they're flying by the seat of their pants. They don't love God enough to study and know his word for themselves, so they're just led around by any and everybody pretending to be a servant or a leader or a representative of Christ. The Bible promises that people like this would come along in the final days. Matthew 24:11, and many, not a few, false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Matthew 24:11. Also 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets, notice, many false prophets are going into the world. 1 John 4:1. Notice, believe not every spirit. That means you're in sin if you're believing everybody who comes along. Also, but try, that means to put them to the test like the Bereans did by searching the scriptures to see whether or not Paul was lying or telling the truth. That's Acts 17:10-11. Are you in the scriptures? Are you, my friend, studying to show yourself approved unto God every day, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? It's guaranteed that you will be deceived and spend eternity in hell if you don't love God enough to study his word. The Bible tells us that God himself sends strong delusion to those who do not receive the love of his truth. They don't love his word, and they're going to be deceived and ultimately damned. Those are all in that passage, 2 Thessalonians, and that's going to be chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. They're going to be damned. They don't love God. If you love God, you study his word. You don't run around trying to find somebody else to listen to, like simple and mere men like myself. No, you go straight to the Lord and you learn his word. So like the Bereans, as you're searching the scriptures daily and continuing to build a deeper and deeper foundation in Bible understanding and knowledge, you're able to rightly divide the word of truth and rightly discern who's true and who's false.
False prophets today are using
lots of stuff to lead people to believe Trump is not placed where he is by God. And gullible dupes, many of them, like I said, many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Notice the word many. So the people that are telling the truth don't have nearly the audience that the false prophets do. And that's biblical. We just read it in Matthew 24:11. Isn't it interesting that the Bible never once speaks about many true prophets? But Jesus and the apostle John, the apostle whom Jesus loved, the Bible says, both said many false prophets. This appears in Matthew 24:11 and 1 John 4:1. So at least twice we see that there are many false prophets, and they shall deceive how many? And shall deceive many. Again, Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall, it's definitive, not might, but shall deceive not a few, but many. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. So Nathan Leal uses what I call sleight of hand manipulation and deception. So by presenting certain things and observing or manipulating those things, those little clips that he puts music behind, and he overplays them while completely ignoring the full evidence that would paint a completely different picture. And people are so gullible. I mean, it's just laughable how gullible. If you're gullible, I hope you're embarrassed. If you're an ignorant dupe, an ignoramus, good, get embarrassed. Repent, go on a fast, and get in the word until you're so full of the word you can't shoehorn another scripture in your mind and heart. Now, I'm just giving figurative language. You understand, you can never get enough of God's word. But if you were studying God's word and living in the fear of God and walking the crucified life in the holy fear of the Lord, you wouldn't be led astray by deceivers like this.
So these false watchmen do everything they do
to point to some apparent or supposed evil connections, nefarious supposed plans of Donald Trump as to why God would have never put him in office, and intentionally misleads people into hatred and hysteria, also by deliberately ignoring the mountains of good things already in 2 days that Trump has done and accomplished. First of all, he set the 1,600 illegally, unlawfully, and immorally formerly incarcerated J6ers, he released all of them. One of them guys was given a 22-year sentence for something that was not even a crime. People like this that feed on false prophets' lies. And it's amazing how little they care about anybody else but themselves. This alone makes Trump the better candidate. Don't you think God heard the cries of these people and their families? One of these guys, he's a decorated Marine with 5 daughters and a lovely wife who haven't seen him for years because he's been unjustly incarcerated, tortured, put in solitary confinement, which means like a 5x9 cell for nothing. A godly brother in Christ, born again Christian. Some of these people, how can they be saved? They don't care about anybody but themselves and getting more views and manipulating more people. These people are in darkness. They love their darkness rather than light because their own deeds are evil. You shall know them by their fruits. Matthew 7:16-20. Well, how can you say somebody's a false prophet? Let me say it again. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. They don't care about anybody except themselves. They're full of hatred, which means they're murderers. 1 John 3:14-15. And no murderer hath eternal life. It says right there, no murderer hath eternal life, quote unquote. 1 John 3:14-15. And 1 John 4:8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Also, Revelation 21:8 says, all liars and murderers, anybody who hates is a murderer in the eyes of a holy God. No different than any man who lusts after a woman or woman lusts after man has already committed adultery and is an adulterer in the eyes of a holy God. Do we read the Bible and listen when we're reading, saints? These people have no heart for the people that have been tortured, and that God heard their cries and answered by giving us Trump. And on the first day, within an hour or two, he signed their release. And most or all of them are already released. I don't even have to go any further than that. If that doesn't make you happy, if, let me tell you, as if I were looking you eye to eye right now, just you and me, you are a vile rebel and a deceiver and an ungodly, hate-filled, murderous animal, and you wouldn't know Jesus if he stood in your face. One of the things the Trump haters, the naysayers, who are quote-unquote exposing, let me stop here to say, just because somebody is exposing someone or something does not make them correct. A lot of people, no matter who's being exposed or what, automatically believe the person exposing. Well, you're going to learn real soon that some of the ones exposing are the ones that are the wolves, and they are under conviction, and they're in darkness. They're full of the enemy of souls. They're under his dominion. Ephesians 2:1-3. And so they're exposing those that are exposing them. So notice, nearly if not every past president. Now I'm saying this because we're going to talk for a moment about how
one of these guys is
showing a clip where Donald Trump is swearing his oath as the 47th president of the United States of America. And Donald Trump is not putting his hand on the Bible. And so
this false watchman is
using that as he loses credibility with most things that he does, because he is using things in a way that is misleading at best and deception. And I think it's going to be clear when we talk about this. So let's talk about putting your hand on the Bible to swear an oath. The Bible says in James 5:12, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. So the Bible says not even to swear an oath. Now, I'm not an expert on this topic, but this seems pretty self-evident. And brothers in Christ, if you can enlighten me further with scripture on this, let's talk about it and grow in our understanding. info@safeguardyoursoul.com. So it says here, we're to swear neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. James 5:12. So doesn't the Bible speak here and elsewhere about swearing false oaths or swearing an oath falsely? Doesn't it actually seem more appropriate for Trump, actually, when you think about this biblically? He's an unsaved man. He knows that. We all know that. So doesn't it seem appropriate for Trump, a man who is not saved, to swear without without putting his hand on God's word, which he does not live by? Is anybody's eyes opening here? Nearly, if not every president, and all of them, virtually all or all of them, were unsaved. And yet, nearly, if not every president in the past and throughout the history of the United States has put his wicked, unsaved hand on the Holy Bible and swore the oath falsely. So, in light of this, doesn't it seem that Trump is being wise, actually, not to put his hand on the Bible, his wicked, defiled, sinful, unrepentant, unforgiven hand on God's word and swear falsely? Food for thought here, right? You have people peddling how this that Trump did was wrong. But in discussing this and looking at it from Scripture, it might have been a blessing. It might have been something that was wise for him to do. Isn't it interesting that, as Jesus said, the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of the kingdom? And the Lord commended the unjust steward, Luke 16:8, because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Isn't it interesting that this man they condemn so profoundly is actually wiser than they are? They've made an idol out of this man. He lives rent-free in their mind. They're so full of hatred, seething hatred, which alone tells you they're lost souls, because there's no such thing as a Christian who walks in anything but love, especially for your fellow man. We have these dupes that are peddling how this that Trump did was bad. So let us get this straight. It's wrong for a lost sinner who does not adhere to the Bible, Trump that is, to swear an oath without putting his hand on the Bible that he doesn't live by? That's a rhetorical question. You're saying it's wrong for a lost sinner like Trump, he's unsaved, unregenerate, he does not adhere to the Bible, it's wrong for him to swear an oath without putting his hand on the Bible that he doesn't live by? Interesting. Anyone buying into this propaganda sold by these manipulating wolves who live in darkness, therefore unable to discern truth from error, they are being called to repent. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil and they should be judging themselves. And this is the condemnation, Jesus said, John 3:19-21, that light is coming to the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. So we are talking in this message about Donald Trump. Is he a curse or a blessing to America? Did God put him where he is? Well, the Bible clearly tells us, the Bible. So it doesn't matter. I'm not saying in this, I'm hearing from God. No, we are hearing from God, but it's straight from God's word. We're adhering to his word. And I see so few people actually using Scripture to walk through and discern this whole situation. Unbelievable. Those people that aren't walking according to the word aren't saying with David, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, for all things that pertain unto life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3-4. They aren't walking in the word. I'm just going to say it. You're not saved. Jesus said, he that is of God hears God's word. Ye therefore hear them not because you're not of God. John 8:47. Jesus said, you're not saved. So it's biblically irrefutable that God put, and why God put, Trump as the president of the United States of America. And there's probably several passages we could go over, but let's look at this one passage as perhaps we come in for a close. 1 Timothy 2:1-6. As we begin, I want to say this. If you don't think the Bible applies to every realm of life, including our country, politics, the president, you are dead wrong. As we've already established at the onset of this message, God, not man, God ordained civil government. If you don't want to get involved, fine. I do encourage you to obey God and pray for your leaders so that what? We can lead quiet and peaceable lives in honesty and integrity, as we're going to read in a minute in this passage. This passage from the Bible is crystal clear biblical evidence and validation why God chose Trump to go back in the White House. Here it is. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, that simply means humble requests, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Then he gets specific. What does he say? Does he say for pastors? No. There needs to be a prayer for all men. And yet he gets specific by saying for kings, civil rulers, and for all that are in authority. Again, civil servants. Here's why we are to pray for them. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, let's put two things side by side. We just endured 4 years of communist Democrat tyranny, right? Where we had 1,600 at least innocent people thrown in jail, just to start. Antifa, which was started by the Democrats, as well as BLM, as well as the KKK, these were all started by the communist Democrats. I don't even call them Democrats. They're communists, devils, Satan's children. So we've had 4 years of chaos. Murder in the streets, criminals running wild, getting no sentence, being let out of jail to go kill and maim and rape and rob more people. It happens every day in America. So we've had 4 years of chaos, murder, stolen elections. If you don't know 2020 was a stolen election, how far is your head underground? Anyway, I can't even imagine somebody doesn't know that. The evidence is profound. It's mountainous. Unrest, illegal criminals, the open borders, other countries emptying out their criminals from their jails, getting rid of them by dumping them on America. And those people came here and they got free everything at taxpayers' expense. And you're not happy we have Trump? You got a screw loose. You ain't right, to put it lightly. So compare that, what we've had, to Trump. Well, we have already, in the first 2 days, even before he was inaugurated, people were running for the hills, making deals, because they know they're in trouble, bowing down to the power of the authority that God has invested in him, as God has done for thousands of years, with men like Cyrus, Nebuchadnezzar, Artaxerxes, etc., whom he used, pagan, unsaved people, whom God used to punish evildoers and evil nations. God really is in control, whether you like it, my friend, or not. And he uses these pagan rulers as he sees fit throughout his story, better known as history, to do whatever he wants. He puts one down and sets another up. Psalm 75, 6 and 7. God ordains leaders, as he did with Trump, and we're going to see how biblical that is as we finish this passage. And he's in control. He decides the timing of his story. I hope you understand that the word history is two words put together. His, that's God's story, Daniel 4:32, the Most High ruleth in the affairs and the kingdoms of men. He is in control, whether you or I like it or not. So many people that claim to be trusting God can't stand that Trump's in office. For the life of me, I can't understand that. I gotta wonder if they're even saved. You heard me. That's bad fruit. Because you don't know the word if you're going to argue that point. And this is clear proof of it. But God takes wicked men. I mean, God saved you, didn't he? If you're even saved. And who's the most wicked person on the planet? I am. You are. Right? Yeah, the root of the matter is in us. Job 19:28. So God uses these men to regulate whatever he wants to accomplish in the world, to bring about end time events in our day, and to regulate the timing of all things. History, his story, he's in control. Amen. And all things are working together for the good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. That calling is to be conformed to the image of Christ, to be crucified crucified with Christ. When you're crucified with Christ, you're going to have the axe of God, the word of God, laid to the root of all your stupid or my stupid notions, philosophies, and what I think. Get over yourself, repent, and let God be true and every man a liar in the innermost part, all the way to the depth of your being and constitution. Notice the Apostle Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that's civil authority especially. Why? Why did God say we're to pray for those in civil authority? Here it is. That we may lead, now this should give us incentive. He gave us incentive. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. In another place, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7, listen to this. We are also here commanded to pray for our civil servants and seek the peace of the city, he says, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. In other words, wherever you live, watch this, and pray unto the Lord for it. Pray unto the Lord for what? For peace in the city you live in, the country, the city, the locale, the geography. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. How many people know we're just passing through in this world? And pray unto the Lord for it. You're another direct instruction from God. I wonder how many people that are banging on the we hate Trump while claiming to be saved. That's total hypocrisy. I wonder how many of them, I'm asking a rhetorical, facetious question here, have stopped to pray for the man. I mean, God saved Nebuchadnezzar, who was probably infinitely more pagan and wicked than Trump was ever or ever will be. And God had him eating grass like a dog in Daniel 4. Go read it. So you think God can't save Trump? You got more faith in Satan than you do God. Oh, wow, I didn't know the devil was bigger than God. That's what you're saying. And pray unto the Lord for it, that is, for the place you live. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. So many listening to me have never had any unrest. Maybe now some of us have. You've never been in the military, many of you. You don't know what it's like to be in a rugged, severe environment with danger and war, if that's what you were in, or just in boot camp. And in the natural line of being in the military, you've never suffered. That's not enviable. That's sad, actually, because that's why many don't have any concern for 1,600 people. It doesn't matter if it's one person. We should all stand for justice. One lady, Sister Bevelyn Williams, was locked up for praying at an abortion clinic. Wow. Unbelievable. And now she's set free. And you're mad that Trump's in office. Like I said, you ain't right. Something ain't right. And you ain't right. God tells us to pray for our leaders so that we may lead, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. God wants us to be able to live a quiet and peaceable life. And since many of us have known nothing but a quiet and peaceable life, we're not praying. We take it for granted. And we need to repent. Because this peace is not going to remain unless God's people do exactly what he says here, as we read in Jeremiah 29:7, as we're reading here in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6, and we come in for a close here. And why? What's this all about, living a quiet and peaceable life? By doing what? Let's read verse 3. For this is good and acceptable. He goes, he reconfirms what he just said, that this is good. To pray, that is, for our leaders, civil leaders, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. So does God want Trump saved, all you Trump haters? Yes, he does. Who will have all men, that will include this man named Trump that some of you hate. Some of us love him, by the way, with the love of God. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus that he would have that Nebuchadnezzar experience and be brought low in total humility, call out to God and be saved. Let it be, Lord, in Jesus' name. Who will have, that's God, all men to be saved, not only saved, but then after that, to come unto the knowledge of the truth, that is, to study them, show themselves approved unto God, and come to the full knowledge of the Word of God. to continually grow in their knowledge of the Word of God, to have an expansive knowledge and understanding of all the cardinal doctrines of Holy Scripture. Amen. Then he says, for there is one God, verse 5, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Here it is. Watch this. To be testified in due time. That's the Great Commission. Jesus said, go teach all men everything I've taught you. He said in the end of Matthew, then in the end of Mark, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So what are we seeing in this passage? Let's summate it. Here's a nutshell. Here's how we summate this passage. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6, God desires that as his people testify of Christ. Didn't we just read that at the end of this passage? Yes. As we accomplish the Great Commission, testifying of this one mediator between God and men, it's to be done, his desire, in a quiet and peaceable, safe environment. That alone tells us God blessed us with Trump. It's irrefutable. God's stated desire right here in this passage is, quote, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, like suburb living, safety. And that's the government's responsibility, finances and safety. And they do that by punishing evildoers. We just read that in 1 Peter 2, 13 and 14. So to summate this passage, God desires, it's stated right here, that his people, as we testify of Christ, who is the one mediator between God and men, are able to do what? Lead a quiet and peaceable, a safe life with all godliness and honesty. We are instructed here to pray for exactly this. And leaders who facilitate, who make this happen, and who is it that we had the choice to elect of these two? Kamala, the devil, Harris, Biden, two children of the devil, sworn enemies of God, or Trump, who's also unsaved. Now, which one of those two facilitates a quiet and peaceable or safe life? Well, it's obvious. It couldn't be more obvious. That would be Donald Trump. So this is biblically irrefutable evidence as to why God gave us Trump instead of another 4 years of chaos, murder, stolen election, raped women by illegals. Nothing makes a good man's blood boil like that. I've had some bad words come out of my mouth, to be honest with you. Can't even look at that stuff. I just regret not being there to help that lady or whoever it was who was murdered and abused and stuff like that. It's absolutely sickening. And for you to say you're a Christian and want more of that, again, you wouldn't know Jesus if he stood in your face. You're a vile, unrepentant, sinful, evil, wicked rebel is what you are. Repent. You're as sure for hell as if you were already there, and your life, the fruit of it, bears witness to such. Before we close, and we'll pray here in a minute, again, let me reestablish in our minds, repetition and association is the way we learn. God instituted, and you're going to see it in the text part of this message, he instituted family, three institutions. Number one, the family, in this order of priority. Number two, the church. Have you thought about the fact that the family comes before the church? Read Genesis, the first three chapters. There was no church. There wasn't even any people till God created Adam and Eve. Family came first, not church. There's a message there. Family, church, and civil authority, civil government. And that civil government is there to keep us safe. And we're to pray for them and elect the correct ones. And why is it? Why is it the divinely stated why did he ordain civil government? So there's no chaos, so we can live quiet and peaceable, safe lives. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6, I want to once again encourage you to pore over all of these passages, to listen again perhaps to this message and let it sink in so that it possesses you, this revelation from God, not me. This is all out of his word, and you can go forth and teach it to others to help other believers. Heavenly Father, we ask you to forgive us of all of our sins, the arrogancy and the way we've offended with our mouths, according to James 3. Lord, we ask you right now for mercy upon each of us, that you would wash us clean in your blood, Lord Jesus. Fill us afresh with your Holy Ghost and give us a hunger, Lord. Quicken us, whatever it takes, in the fear of God, that we would get into your word with a reckless abandon and begin to be perfected and matured and equipped for the work of the ministry, that we would be crucified with Christ, and yet nevertheless not I that lives, not us, but you, Lord, dwell in us and reign in our lives, raising us up from that dead and buried posture daily. Let it be. Father, we thank you for Donald Trump's presidency. We thank you for his life and family. We thank you that there's nothing too hard for the Lord, as your word says. And so we pray right now that we would continue to be able to lead quiet and peaceable lives as we make known this one mediator, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. Let it be, Lord. Let evildoers be justly punished in America, in whatever country you may live in, folks. We pray that for. We ask that you would topple and pull the rug on deceivers who in civil servant positions, Lord, that you would go all the way down to the clerks of the court and the judges, Lord, who are deceiving and robbing the people, and you would rebuke them and or remove them and or punish them justly as domestic enemies. In Jesus' name, we praise you for your goodness, your mercy, your protection, and your salvation as we look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.